morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. You know, we all have doubts. You know, at this time, we have doubts about Christmas. We doubt that. Will I get what I want? Will my family be able to come and we all have Christmas together? Will we even have Christmas? There's a bunch of people in the world that said we're going to have nuclear war. But the issue is there's some doubts now about Christmas. And when we don't know something, we have a doubt about it. The title of my sermon this morning is The Doubts of Christmas. And we're looking at John chapter 10, verses 22 through 27. John chapter 10, verses 22 through 27. There are a lot of doubting people in the Christmas story. And we need to see how God deals with those doubts, because He can deal with our doubts the same way. So John chapter 10, verses 22 through 27. Before we read God's Word, let's go to the Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for Your gift. Amen. We thank You for this time. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for its truth. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You, Lord, for understanding, Lord. Lord, we thank You for just being able to stand here today and listen to Your Word. Lord, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would have full reign here today. We ask that if someone does not know You as Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. Father, for us that may have doubts about stuff, Lord, help us to have those removed today. Help us to leave here more like You for Your glory and Your honor. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It says in verse 22, it says, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter." This is approximately 3.5 months before Christ goes to the cross. This is last year of His ministry. And we can see the setting here is in December. This is the Feast of Festivals, or the Feast of the Dedication, which is Hanukkah, or the Feast of Lights. And so it's appropriate for this time of year. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Verse 24 says, "Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, How long dost Thou make us to doubt?" We like to cast our doubts on everybody. We like to blame everybody else for the problems that we have. And right here we have the Jews blaming Jesus for their not understanding Jesus. It says, "If Thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe me not. The works that I do in My Father's name, I showed you. They bear witness of Me, and you don't believe Me at all. But ye believe not, because ye are not of My sheep. As I said unto you, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." Earlier in this chapter, He says, "I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door to the sheep. Anybody comes in any other way is a thief and a robber. I lay down My life for the sheep that I may pick it up again." Later on, He says, "All that Father gives Me, no one plucks them out of My hand." Talks about eternal security. But the issue is we have this large crowd that has doubt. They have doubt about God. There's a lot of people today have doubt about Christmas. And they'll point out, "Well, that's not the right day." It doesn't matter. The fact is that Christ came to earth in a manger.
Amen.
He came here to save mankind. Amen. He came here to be a sacrifice. And you can't have any doubt about that at all. We should not live in doubt. Because if we have doubt, we have confusion in ourselves. And it causes confusion to other people. This week, as I was teaching in Bible class, a student came up to me and said, how do we know for sure that Paul actually wrote the words that God told him to write? And I said, well, because Paul told Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, did he write anything of his own thinking in there? No. Even the things that he wrote, which was he wrote by permission of God. God told him everything to write. Well, why is that so important? I said, because if you think that the Bible was written by man and not by God, then you have doubt. You have doubt about, well, is this the man part or is this the God part? Is this part true? Is this part not true? I said, you can't live like that because you can't have faith like that. And we have to accept God's word as being from Him.
Amen.
And we have to follow it. What we believe has an impact on other people. And it can cause confusion. Galatians chapter 4, verse 20. Paul writes to the church of Galatia. And he's trying to straighten out their faith. Because these guys came in and said, oh, you got to keep the law too, in addition to believing in Christ. And he writes this, he says, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Maybe someone here today doesn't quite get it. Maybe you just have some doubt. You can't live like that. We need to believe in God.
Amen.
It says in 1 John chapter 5, it says, these things have I written unto you that ye may know without any shadow of a doubt.
That's right.
The Bible says, let him ask in faith of God, nothing wavering or doubting. Don't you think that you're going to get anything from the Lord that way? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Right.
Christians should be stable. Christians should not have doubt when it comes to God, when it comes to His Word, when it comes to service to Him, when it comes to all of God, of His characteristics. We should not live in doubt. Here's the reason why. Because doubt causes us not to see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 24 of our text, it says, they came to Jesus and said, tell us plainly, why are you making us doubt? No, you're making yourself doubt.
Right.
God doesn't make you doubt. You just don't want to believe. And there's people today that just don't want to believe. In John chapter 7, verse 26, it says here, lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? The people were saying, he has to be him. He's fulfilling all these prophecies. He's saying the words of God. He's doing things that only God can do. But people still had doubts. The problem is that doubt causes us not to follow God in faith. Verse 26 to 27 says, but you believe not because ye are not of my sheep. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Do you know Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know my Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Him? As I, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Listen to God's word today. So in the Christmas story, we see there's three groups of people about doubt. And Christ's arrival removes all doubt from their minds. The first group is the doubt of the waiting. The group at Hanukkah, they were waiting for something that they were expected to see, and they didn't see it, and therefore it wasn't what they wanted and what they believed. And, you know, who here likes to wait? I don't like to wait. Who wants to wait when there's trouble all around? This is the world that God came into. Back in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, we see the state of Israel, not the physical state, but the status of Israel when Christ came into the world. And there were trials all around. And this passage says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as was in her vexation. That's trouble. When at the first he lightly afflicted, that's trouble. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did Mark grievously afflict her, that's trouble. By the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations, the people that sat in darkness. When you're in doubt, you're in darkness. These people were waiting. 700 years now. 400 years of silence. No prophets. And the bulk just said, forget it. But there were a few that were looking. I think of the story of Simeon. Simeon was told by God through the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. 8 days after Christ was born, he brings him to the temple to circumcise him. And Simeon sees him and he holds him in his hand. And he says, now let thy servant depart in peace. I have seen the salvation of God. Mm-hmm. God wants to remove all doubt in your life. The troubles that you have, the darkness that you're in, causes doubt. But God wants to remove all that by the light of his word. This was the state of Israel. Because in verse 6 of this chapter, chapter 9, he says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The increase of the government, there will be no end. In verse 7. See, God knows that you're in the trials. God knows that Israel will be in a state of crisis when he came to the earth. Hey, it's the state that we find ourselves in today. The psalmist, David, writes in Psalm 13, verses 1 through 4, he says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? You know, sometimes we let our troubles get in the way and we don't think God cares. Right? That he doesn't love us, that he doesn't hear us. He says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? Or how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel of my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O God, or Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved, when I have doubt. See, in the Christmas story, there's a large segment that doubt. The shepherds see, they go back and tell, but no one listens. Because they would have been ready to receive Christ. There's too much doubt in the world today. There's too much doubt in the church. There's too much doubt in our lives today. We need to get rid of that. But we doubt when trials are all around. We doubt when the time of waiting is long. I am impatient. I'm a very impatient person. My wife can taste. Yeah. Okay? Don't shake your head. Okay? But in Psalm chapter 6, verses 2 and 4, it says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, and for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, what? How long? Return, O Lord. Deliver my soul. Oh, save me for thy mercy's sake. You know, sometimes we get tired of waiting. We take matters in our own hands like Abraham did.
Amen.
And you get a mess.
Right.
Sometimes we say, well, I want it now. And it doesn't happen now. And so, obviously, God doesn't hear me. And we start doubting. See, the doubt of waiting, when the waiting is long, comes when the hope diminishes. In Psalm 35, verse 17, it says, Lord, how long will thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions. my darling from the lions. If you don't deal with the trouble, then hope goes away. And God can take care of the trouble and can also restore hope. The time is waiting long, causes us to help us not discern. We've been going through basically a study of Revelation on Sunday night. And one notable group of people are saints, tribulation saints that don't receive the mark of the beast. They reject the Antichrist and they believe Christ and they're killed for their testimony. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "And they cry with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge your blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Okay? How long? When God says it's long enough. Amen. And we have to be patient. How long? When we see everything that God wants us to learn about the trouble that we're in. How long till we understand that God's in control even though we think that He's not? How long when we basically say, it's okay, God is yours? Patience of God is required. How long? When patience hath her perfect work. Patience of God is required. What happened is we need to understand that His promises are proven. The promises that Isaiah made to the nation 700 years before Christ came true, exactly as Christ. He made them to Micah. He made them to Jeremiah. He made them to Ezekiel. He made them to all these. You know why? Because His promises come true. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, I've made promises and not followed through. People make promises to you not follow through, but all the promises that God makes will follow through.
Amen. Amen.
And when God makes a promise and His word says something, there should be no doubt about it.
Amen.
No matter how long you have to wait, no matter how many trials you go through, God's word is still true.
Amen.
His promises are proven and His timing are perfect. It's perfect. So when did Christ come to earth? When God said it was time. When will God answer your prayer? When God says it's time. Not you. How will God answer your prayer? And how will God remove all doubt? When it's His way and not yours.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, Amen. That we might receive the adoption of sons."
Amen.
Most people had forgotten all the prophecies in the Old Testament. They weren't looking for Christ. And they were in darkness. You need to be looking for God today.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Don't have the doubt of waiting. There was the doubt of the woman. We're talking about Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verses 28, 38, it says, "And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not." God wants to remove all your fear today.
Amen.
Today, maybe God's going to ask you to do something that you've been wanting, that you've been needing to do for a long time. And you have doubts about it. God wants to remove all those doubts. "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Don't you understand that you are the apple of God's eye? Don't you understand that we all have favor with God? Don't you understand that His grace is sufficient? His mercy is abundant. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "Wait a second. How can this possibly happen? How shall this be seen? I know not a man." And the angel answered her and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, thou that also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Yeah.
And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. He is being unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. See, Mary had doubt when asked to do the impossible for God. You know, a lot of us don't do what we're supposed to do because we don't think we can. You can't, but God can. If you just let God use you. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Sometimes we have doubts because we don't see God working in our lives, that He can't do it. He can do anything. He's God.
Amen.
And we need to understand that. Sometimes we have doubts because of what's going to happen in the future. Mary's going to have to deal with this remarkable miracle. And she's going to tell people, and people say, uh-uh. That can't happen. That's not right. You've done the wrong thing. You know why? Because there was social media back there. And it got out. And everybody knew. Because in John chapter 8, verse 41, she has to endure these future insults. Okay? It says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have our father, even God. They basically said, you're an illegitimate kid, and your mom messed up. Mary knew that was going to happen. Maybe you have doubt today about God wanting to use you for something, and you said, that can't happen. God can make it happen. Maybe you're scared about doing something for God, that somebody might say something against you. God will take care of you.
Amen.
And don't have any doubts about that. All these doubts keep us from doing what God wants us to do.
Amen.
Surrender is required.
Amen.
In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that ye may exalt you in due time. It's not instant Christianity. Salvation is instantaneous. But the walk with God is a lifelong commitment. And we're changed from glory to glory into the same image. And you need to surrender. Mary had to surrender. She said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Here's the point. The nation of Israel needed to surrender and have patience to the promise. Mary needed to surrender to the power of God, that God could actually do what the angel said He was going to do. And He did. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, it says, Paul's talking about this. He says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, because of all the struggles, all the trials, and all the waiting that Paul went through in his life. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul was said, you're beside yourself. You're a lunatic. You don't understand. You're out of your mind. Paul knew what kind of insult was going to come to him. Mary knew what kind of insult it was going to come. And we all know, and it shouldn't stop us.
Right.
Don't let it cause doubt in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen.
We have the doubt for waiting because of the trouble, because of the time, because we don't believe the promise. We have the doubt that Mary could have, because we don't think it's possible that God would use me or you. Or the cost it will take in reputation to the world. I'd rather give up my reputation to the world to have a reputation to God.
Amen.
So oftentimes we have a doubt of Mary. And then there's the doubt of Joseph. He's got the doubt of the wondering. The other part of the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 says, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded away pray, put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from the sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Isaiah 7:14, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." You know, we have this doubt of wondering when we're asked to believe something beyond comprehension. Now, you can't hide a pregnancy.
Nope.
So, this happens to Mary. Pretty soon, it becomes obvious that Mary is pregnant. Okay? And she comes to Joseph. Joseph, you're not going to believe this. Well, first of all, don't ever say that. If it's God, you need to believe it. Okay? But the Holy Ghost did this to me. God did this to me. And what would Joseph say? Yeah, right. Let's get real. Uh-huh. I've heard that story before. Oh, it's in the water, right? You drank the water. You know, oh, it's another thing. Oh, this, no. We know. And it's that doubt had to be removed by God himself. Because it says here, it says, being a just man. He says, I understand this. This doesn't look right. But he didn't want to make her a public example. Was minded to put her away privily. He didn't believe it for her. He didn't believe her story. Let's be honest here. He did not believe it. He had doubts. Really? And God comes and takes away his doubt. But why he was what? Thinking on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. I know it sounds incredible, but this is the way it is. You need to have faith in God.
Amen.
See, the problem is we start thinking too much, we start wondering too much, and our faith in God goes away. We don't believe the truth, we doubt the truth, and we doubt faith. God wants us to understand that what he says is true. And so, Joseph had to deal with believing God on something that he couldn't believe in his mind. And oftentimes we're asked to believe things for God that just doesn't make sense to us. That's called faith. And when we think of Christmas time, we think of the nativity and the Christmas story and everything. Think of all the things that had to happen in order for this to go the way that God wanted it to go. You wonder when you're part of God's plan. But here's the point. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says this. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We serve a bigger God, and he's bigger than what you think he is.
Amen.
We need to understand that. There's a doubt and wondering when it asked to be part of God's plan. Here's something you may not have thought about. We don't talk about Mary, but think about Joseph. Joseph has to raise Jesus as his own son. He gets the privilege of raising Jesus as a father. Think of that. If he had doubted before and put her away, it would have been messed up that entire plan. And look at the privilege that you get for taking one step of faith at the beginning. Later on in Luke chapter 2, verses 50 through 52, we see a later account in Christ's life when he's a young boy. And he goes and they take him to the temple for one of the feasts. And Joseph and Mary leave and the party with them. And Jesus is in the temple and he's asking questions and he's answering questions. And Joseph and Mary go a day away. And they say, where's Jesus? That kid. They turn back around, they find him in the temple. Mary comes up to him and says, don't you understand that you kind of worried us? And Jesus says this, he says, I'm here about my Father's business. And in verse 50 he says, and they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. Which was that. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was what? Subject unto them. When you have no doubt, God will use you to fulfill his plan.
Amen.
To be instrumental in his plan. And it says, but his mother kept all these things saying in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. When you remove your doubts and you listen to God and you believe what God says and you're in God's place and you're doing God's thing and you're doing it the way he wants you to do, then things are going to happen. And Jesus will be increased.
Amen.
Jesus will be increased. He will be exalted and glorified. So this morning, where's your doubt? Do you have a doubt of the waiting? You're waiting for God to do something and you say, I just can't, I'm just going to give up. Don't. Do you have the doubt that Mary had? But how can this happen? How can God ever use me? He used Paul. Look at the people he used. He can use all of us. And when things don't make sense and we wonder about it, we start trying to reason it out, give it to God. The issue is we don't doubt. What we need to do is do. Drop off the UBT at the end of it and just do the first part of doubt. Just do it. And you'll be rewarded by God and you'll never be sorry.
Amen.
You need to follow God. Do you know him as your Savior? If not, today, day of your salvation, if you believe in him. For us that do know him, get rid of our doubt. Cast all of our fears and our doubts on him. And let's go do what he wants us to do. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I just ask you this time of temptation, Father, to search our hearts. Help us, Lord, not to doubt. Help us, Lord, not to doubt on your plan, on your word, on your truth. Father, you're the God of all grace and mercy and truth and love and righteousness. Help us to come into the presence of you right now, understanding and not doubting that. Change us and fill us and help us decide for you today. At this time of invitation, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.